Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Also known as Big Jelly for you know, those who have been around for a while.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jay, today I got we could just take it nice and easy, you know. I got the snooziness right up here in my brain skull.
I hear you, man. We have been for the past 2 weeks just nonstop on the road, traveling around the Midwest of the grand United States, and like meeting all sorts of different little colonels, box breakers, through the Gryffindor, super Carlin friends, just like a myriad of people. We've been doing our Through the Griffin tour, doing different chapters from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it has been a real whirlwind. And I am properly tired.
Yes. I mean, like, you know, it's so funny to think back to the first tour that we did, because when we went out, it was this like grand, big, massive endeavor that we were all like staring down at. Like, we didn't know. There were so many fundamental unknowns about what we were going out there to
right.
do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We didn't know how the show would be received. Like, we always sort of joke, and like one of the anecdotes that we tell from like our first show in Boston was we got out there and like kind of had these nerves about, like, you know, when people listen to Gryffindor the podcast, a lot of times the word they use to describe it is like cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is a, like, it means the world to me that when people say that, it is also the kind of thing where you're like, what does that look like in a room full of people? Like,
right.
is everybody just going to be like kind of like quietly like drifting off,
right,
like,
right.
But like not in a bad way, just sort of
just
like
listening to these guys talk about the chapter,
right?
Yeah,
just nice and like, I mean, it's not ASMR, but it's like, you know, maybe it's ASMR adjacent or something. And so, you know, like, we got out there, and the thing that me and you always tell is that like people started laughing, and then all of a sudden we were like, wait a second, is it like a funny podcast? Like, we didn't
right,
know
yeah.
that.
Is this a comedy show?
Right. And it was hilarious because our first ever show was at a comedy club, like a dedicated club.
Comedy club, yeah.
Which I think was also the only one of those we've ever done a show at.
Right.
It was called Laugh Boston.
Right.
Which was really funny. But then, you know, there was things like merch and sort of like, you know, what is it like as far as like lodging various places? Like, you know, we were trying to go through and like really be like, okay, well, in this town, it makes sense to do like an Airbnb and we all just stay in like a house together. Here, we'll do like a hotel. Like, you know, we were Mod Podging so many elements of the tour together, like trying to figure out what the whole thing looked like. And then even as we've gone on, we've like introduced like all sorts of like new gags and jokes and, you know, like things that like sort of fill in the corners of what the show started as.
Yes.
Which has been really neat. But the what's wild to me to look back on about that first like Northeast tour was that we went out on the road and we only did three shows. We did Boston, New York City, and Philadelphia.
Yep.
And when we got home from that, I feel like we were all like, oh my gosh, like what a whirlwind. We had one more show that we were still going to do like up in DC, but like it was like a week later.
Yeah, like that weekend. So we had to come back, go to work again.
Right.
And then, you know, leave again.
and go and do one last like little stint there. But this felt like we graduated a little bit. Like we went from like, okay, we had, you know, I mean, in comparison to the first one, especially, that was like training wheels. And then this was sort of like, okay, like now we had 8 shows in 10 days. We are like, now we have earned the hard way a Hilton Gold membership because we're like, I guess we stay at Hilton's, like
home to suite.
Yeah. The home to suites is our
home to suites is the sweet spot. Let me tell you, love them.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Free advertising.
Absolutely. I mean, just like they've got the breakfast, they got the parking, you know, it's like,
yes.
Rooms are spacious, like that's all we need, just a comfortable place to like lay down at the end of the night, which sometimes that's also a crazy one, is that like, you know, there's 5 of us, so it's like, you know, the whole team goes on tour, it's not like it's anything, you know, super super crazy,
yeah,
but you know, you book all these hotel rooms every night, and I think even like back to when I was like first out of college, and I remember being like on Facebook and seeing people posting pictures, because like everybody that like you went to high school with is now, they're like young professionals themselves, probably have their first jobs, like, you know, sort of like feeling the world out a little bit. And I remember being so ridiculously impressed with people who were going and doing vacations that involved booking hotels.
Yeah.
You know, because like the expense of the hotel, never mind whatever you're there to do,
right,
is expensive.
Right.
And then there was like people who were like taking like flights, and I was like, well, goodness gracious, they've made it.
They've made
it. You know, like a vacation that requires flying. Like, well, I don't even know how you do that. Like, who? Yeah. So, you know, but like now by comparison, we'll go and we'll have like, you know, all of our hotel rooms for the night. And sometimes if check-in isn't ready by the time we've rolled into the city that we're doing the show at that night, then we don't even go to the hotel first. We just take all of our bags straight to the venue. And you get there. And so like, you know, you walk in and like, it's not just like our show stuff. It's like, we've got like our huge duffel bags and suitcases that, like,
right,
that we're living out of, all crowding up these like little green room spaces.
Yes.
You know, everybody's kind of like digging through their toiletry kits and stuff to get to their like show clothes. Like it's a whole thing. So then, you know, the show ends, we pack up, we do the whole thing, you know, you drive however far to get to the hotel. Sometimes we're not even checking in until 1 a.m. and we're leaving at 8 the next,
right,
the
to
next
get on
morning.
The road to go to the next place.
Right. So it's like you're paying for this hotel stay literally so that we have 7 hours
of sleep,
like of like permission to use their mattress,
pretty much,
you know. It's sort of like okay
yeah,
like, you know, we're in, we're out, you go, bam,
boom.
And it's wild. So it, you know, and I've always had like a weird, on the same note, like a weird unsureness about whether or not to count like I've driven through Pennsylvania, you know, 700 times in my life on our way to like New York,
yeah,
where our whole family's from. But does that count like traveling to Pennsylvania, or did you just travel through
Pennsylvania?
And I was always, right, kind of like, I don't know if you really count it, like just being on the road.
Like I've been in Maryland. Yeah.
Right. It's like having like a layover in Denver or something like that. It's,
yeah,
like, it's like, have you ever been to Denver? It's like, yeah.
The airport. Right. Like, yeah. It's like, I don't know if the airport counts.
Right.
Like driving through, if you drive top to bottom Pennsylvania, like you've been to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there's
you
know, that.
You spent time there.
You spent, well, and that was
you didn't maybe do anything, but like you saw a lot of it.
Right. And that was gonna be my exact next point, is that like now, you know, like we've technically been to Cleveland, you know, but we were there for such a brief period of time that like part of me is almost like, have we been to Cleveland? Like,
and of course we've been to Cleveland. We went to the weird clown arcade and we stayed at the world's slow, and we ate at the world's slowest Taco Bell.
Goodness gracious.
Such was Cleveland.
So we've out there, we've done our 8 shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we did the math when we got home, because I returned the rental van to Enterprise, and I was like, I have to know, how many miles do we put on it? And the guy was like, 3,000. And so if you average 1 minute spent in the car for every mile, it means we were like at 50 hours spent inside of this vehicle.
It's too much. It's too much. A lot of time.
It's over two whole days.
Yeah.
You know, like, and these were waking hours. This is not like.
Yeah, we're not like asleep. We're not like driving through the night.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I got, maybe Isabel was napping up in the front. You'll just like suddenly, yeah, everyone will be like, wait, where's Isabel? She'll be like, she's asleep. And you'll be like, but we were talking to her 2 minutes ago. It's like, she's asleep.
She's asleep now. Yeah.
Now she's asleep. She's not with us right now.
She was there. She was laughing. She was joking. And then she was.
And then she was asleep.
Now she's unconscious.
I don't understand how it happens.
Oh my gosh. I know. Yeah. It happens so quick. But yeah, so we've gone through all this stuff. It's the end of our last show. We all just want to go out and have like a little like celebratory evening.
Yeah, like we did it. We finished all eight shows.
Yeah. We're all just absolutely starving. We're looking for a place to just go have like a celebratory like cheers, clink, beer.
Right.
You know, like nothing crazy. Just like, you know, something to be like, we did it. Like we're here. And so we go, we find a place to, you know, have the drink or whatever. And then we're like looking for anything that's
anywhere
still open. And the only thing we've got is a Taco Bell. Our van is too tall to go through the drive-thru.
Right.
But we're all sitting in the Taco Bell parking lot. Like, we had walked up, we tried to pull the door. Sure enough, you know, they close it after like 11 or
something. Yeah, right.
Like,
you can't go inside anymore. You have to go drive-thru only.
Drive-thru only. But we're like salivating, staring at this Taco Bell. Like, we're all just like, there's no way in the world that we're here and we're pulling out of this parking lot without having gotten our Taco Bell.
Right.
So at this point, Isabel's boyfriend, Aaron, had come up to see the last show. So me and him walk through the drive-through line.
Yeah.
On feet.
Yeah.
And it's like,
if
one of
you haven't walked through a Taco Bell drive-through at any point in your life, you know, what are you doing?
What are you even doing with yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like at some point in time, this is like something that, like, you know, high school us, the GMA, would have done like for the lols.
Yeah.
You know, would have just been like, this is just funny.
Totally.
Like, I'm just having a good time here.
Me and our friends Kendall and Trey did this in college.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Was it a Taco Bell?
It was a Taco Bell.
No kidding.
It was. And we walked through and we got to the window and like, you have to be in a car. And we were like, well, we're not in a car. We're just standing right here. And they're like, sorry, we can't serve you if you're not in a car. And like, they're holding the food. I'm like, I literally argued with them. I was like, you're holding the food. Just hand it to us and it'll be fine. We are like, I'll hand you the money. Like, we're here. And they like, it took some like actual convincing. And they finally were like, okay, all right, fine. Just like, please don't do this again. And it was like, okay, cool. Just hand me the food. Boom. And we got it.
Well, and this is the exact thing is that, like, I've heard of people doing this before. And like, I know it's like ha ha funny and stuff, but like, this was a situation where we couldn't drive our vehicle through the line. And so like, I was like fully prepared to be like, it's not that I'm trying to be silly here. I'm not. I have a van full of people who are just so hungry for tacos at 2 a.m.
Right.
And it's like, I just, can you like, it, like, I promise we're not trying to like pull anything. And sure enough, they rolled with it. Like, no problems at all. They were like, are you in the big van? Like, and I was like, yes. Well, not technically right now, but I was in the big van. And now we're standing here.
Right.
But so they're like, okay, if you place a mobile order, like, we'll hand it to you through the window or whatever.
Right.
That was like the deal.
That was the deal.
No problem. We'll place a mobile order. But goodness gracious, we're standing there, you know, me and Aaron, for a mortal age. I mean, 45 minutes.
Easy.
Right?
Easy.
Like, and this one car is just sitting there. And like, the person in the car is like waiting for their order. They're at the window just waiting for their tacos. And I'm like, I don't know what you could have ordered, but like, this is too long for the line wrapped around the building.
You got like an Elise Myers 100 tacos situation going on in front of you or something.
You genuinely do. Because I mean, and they looked completely at peace with everything. Almost as if they were expecting it to take this long at this hour.
Right.
Night. Yeah. And then in the meantime, of course, me and Aaron are standing there. So then like all the other people who are in the drive-through line are just looking at us like,
who are these idiots?
Right. It's like, what are you guys doing? And then they start like, you know, making chat with us. And we're like, hey, yeah, we're doing a thing. And we're trying our best here. You know?
Sorry. They're like, get out of the way. I was like, no, we're a car. We count.
We count as a car.
Promise.
Yeah. Me and Aaron's like collective small frames.
Right. Yeah.
Together. We add up to one vehicle, please. Yeah. Thank you. Eventually, we got our tacos. And I swear.
Eventually.
They packed in like an extra like 10 burritos into that thing. They handed me the bag and I almost needed like a dolly.
Right. Yeah. To wheel it back.
To wheel it back. I was like, this is so much food. I don't know. And I was like, I ate my two cheesy gordita crunches, which were incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a Crunchwrap Supreme and I remember like we'd been sitting there for 45 minutes in the car and I was like, okay, I am starving. I'm like, I really need to savor this entire experience because there's no way I waited 45 minutes for something and then finish it in 30 seconds. Like, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, and I was so hungry at the same time.
And so the next thing you knew, it was gone.
And then, yeah, sure enough. Didn't take me long. I probably should have savored. I should probably still be eating it.
I know, right?
Yeah. If only.
In spirit, you are.
In spirit. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll go get another one just to celebrate, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you earned it.
Exactly. The way I technically waited for like four of them or something.
Right.
But in the meantime, before we went to the Taco Bell, we were trying to find a bar that still had the kitchen open, which is sometimes you go to place, like when we're on the road, we'll find places. They're like, yeah, kitchen's open until 2 a.m. And you're like, yes.
I know. Yeah.
Great. Because let me tell you, the shows are exhausting. And you finish it and you want food.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you get there and like usually each of the venues will like provide some measure of like, you know, a plate of chicken tenders or whatever for everybody in the group or like a pizza or, you know, something. So it's like
usually some food.
Usually at like 5:30 we've consumed food.
Right.
You know, but then it's like you're coming off as like total high situation where like you're like on cloud nine, like you feel great and everything, but you're starving.
Yeah.
And it's like midnight.
Right. Need to get some nourishment in you.
Yeah.
So we were trying to find, like when we finished the last tour in the Southeast. Yes.
In Nashville,
we went to like a barcade and we were like, okay, maybe we can find another barcade like for the final night.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go do that again. And there was a place that came up. It was like almost in walking distance, just like we got in the van, but it looked like, oh yeah, we've got arcade games and it's a bar. And it was like, okay, do they have food? I guess we'll find out when we get there. They didn't. Yeah. But also, it was maybe the strangest bar, like the diviest barcade I have ever been to.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Hard stop.
Bar none.
It was like sideshow themed, I guess.
Yeah. That's a fair way to put it.
Yeah. Like, you know, traveling carnival, like...
You walk in, they've got like the like wavy mirror.
So like a fun house mirror. They've got like claw machines for like skeletons and stuff.
Yeah.
But like most of the games seemed like they were more part of the background than things like you were there to do. You know?
Right. Like in the same way that, you know, like any good like sitcom has just like a myriad of like objects that they've like filled in the main character's like apartment with.
Right.
And it's sort of like, oh yeah, they have a pinball machine in the back. It's like they don't ever really play it, but it's like it's neat that they have
it. It's there. Like,
these are those kinds of people. They're the kind of people who would have bought a pinball machine.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. It was almost like there's this like mini golf game, and we sit down, and I like, you know, while we were on tour, we went to Top Golf twice.
Yes.
And then we did, what was the name of the really fancy putt-putt place
in St. Louis? I do not remember.
Anyway, we went to a fancy
putt-putt place.
Yeah. It was really cool. Like your score was connected to like the ball, so you could like putt in any order, and it would just like immediately like keep track, like, oh, Ethan went first this time, oh, Isabel went first this time, oh, like Kat, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever, like no problem, which made it nice because each of the holes was so specific that you almost needed like someone to be the guinea pig to try it.
Yeah.
So that everybody else knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
So it felt like a really fair way to go about.
Yeah. It was like every hole had like a hole in one condition.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, so we're at this sideshow place bar restaurant thing, and there's this like little mini golf game that actually has like a real putter next to it.
Yeah.
And it spits out a real golf ball, and you like are supposed to like putt it to like this ever-changing landscape of like, you know, configurations. And you were just like, all right, let's all play, who's got cash, like let's put it in the machine, you know, like we'll each take a turn.
Yeah.
It was so impossibly hard.
It was impossibly hard. And also, we couldn't even do the multiplayer because the button for the select thing was broken.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of like, we just sort of took turns, and I think we got like two putts in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty silly.
Yeah.
But you know, we did it.
But we did it. We got our post-show beverages in, and then proceeded across the parking lot to the Taco Bell for our eternity wait.
Right. We're still there.
We like, might
I,
still be.
I think I left a piece of myself.
Yes.
In Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay. But so that was maybe our like slowest food experience. What do you think was your best food experience on the road?
The best food experience on the road is also the best food experience I've had.
Just end of sentence.
End of sentence.
End of sentence.
I had the best meal I've ever had in my life on this tour.
That is amazing news.
Yes.
That is amazing. And I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
In fact, In fact, whilst I would say dinner, I would say I had my single best day of food, day of eating ever.
Yeah.
On this tour.
I would completely
agree. And it came out of completely nowhere.
We had no idea.
No idea.
Nothing was planned in advance.
Nothing.
So we wake up in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
And hold on. I do remember the name of the restaurant that we went to.
Uncle Wolfie's.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you had it. Uncle Wolfie's. So we're leaving the hotel, our home two suites. And before we hit the road, we didn't have like a terribly long drive. So we were like, is there somewhere like nearby that we could just like go get food real quick?
Because Milwaukee was one of those places that was like victim of like, we rolled in, we went to the venue, we got to the hotel, we got up to leave. So it was like, well, let's get breakfast in Milwaukee. So we did something here.
So we did something. Yeah. So same thing. We all get in the van. We're all sitting there. We're just like looking to like plug it into the GPS or whatever. And I was like, y'all, it's a 3-minute walk. So we just all get right back out of the van and lock it back up. And we walk, you know, around three corners and we're there. A place called Uncle Wolfie's. And we're having just like the most stellar breakfast ever. Like, and every single person in our party ordered a different dish. So that's 5 different breakfast dishes out of like what I want to say was like 8 available options. And like every single person was just like gobsmacked.
It was crazy. Like looking around the table, everyone was like, what's happening right now?
I know.
Like,
yeah.
What is this place?
Is this incredible? Like, and they like even came out and they had like our coffees, which was like, you know, all like super gourmet coffee, and they're in these like beautiful mugs. And so we're like, wow, we love these mugs. These are like really gorgeous. And like the waiter comes back like 2 minutes later and he's like, actually the person who makes the mugs is like an in-house ceramicist. And so like, here's her card in case you like, you guys ever like would like to like work with her in the future or something. It was just like, are you kidding me? Like the person who made the coffee mug works here. Like, like that doesn't happen.
This is the like what is happening here? Then we like, we're trying to like ask more about the restaurant and they're like, oh yeah, it's like Indonesian infused. And we're like, what? Indonesian infused American breakfast.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, it was, I was like speechless for the quality of food. And you're right. Like we basically went there, not even on like a recommendation or like Google reviews. It was like, it's just the one closest to us.
Yes.
So we went
a 10th of a mile away.
Right.
So it was like, all right, deal. We're sold. You know, we'll do that one. So we walk in, we got sat down immediately. Everything was amazing. Just extremely pleasantly surprised. I like left a 5-star review on Google before I even like left the restaurant.
Was
like,
you did. You got in the car and you were like, okay, I have to leave a review for that place.
Yes. It was like, that was just too good.
So if you're in Milwaukee, Uncle Wolfie's, somewhere in the downtown area.
Yeah.
I guess.
Amazing. Near the Home 2 Suites.
Near the Home 2 Suites.
You know the one.
You know it.
But yeah, so then we get in the car and we're driving to Chicago.
Chicago. This was our like one day off in the middle of the tour.
Yes. So it was like, that's the reason that we were like, okay, we have time for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because yeah, we're just going to do that. So then you had a recommendation to go and get like we all watch the TV show, The Bear.
The Bear.
And the whole thing with The Bear is that, it's this like Carmi, the main character, is like a really, really like, you know, Michelin star grade chef.
Right.
And his brother has passed away. And so he has basically come back to take over the restaurant in Chicago that his brother had run.
Yeah.
And
called the beef.
And they sell like a Chicago beef sandwich that like is like the shaved beef, and they like dip it in the, I'm going to call it like au jus,
the sauce,
it is. Yeah. So you kind of get this like drippy, delicious, soft beef sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Big Al's.
Big Al's number one beef. Yep.
Yep. And you know, you had like the pro tip that you're not even supposed to like sit on the stool. You're supposed to stand.
You're supposed to stand to eat it. So they have these high top tables and there's stools there, but like you want that like elbow room, you know, you want to be able to lean over. Cause I mean the whole sandwich has been submerged in the sauce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It was so
like,
good.
I mean, I destroyed the whole thing. Like you guys may have heard me like speak like this before, but like, I'm not always like the most, vacuum cleaner kind of consumer.
Right.
Like I usually, Alice describes it as like eating like a bird.
Yeah.
You know, like I tend to like, she eats more than me most of the time,
right,
like at dinner and stuff like that. Inhaled this
thing.
It was so good.
After the breakfast.
after the breakfast.
Yeah.
And before what will be the dinner.
And what, yes, before what will be the dinner. So there you go. Like, that's probably one you could probably find on your own, because it's just going to clearly be the best beef place in Chicago. Or at least the one, I don't know, people are going to be like, no, 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 don't go.
Of course.
People are going to be divided on this and be like, that's the tourist place. I don't care. It was so good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I would go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had that.
You know that.
And then the final one, and this is again just kind of speaking to the lack of plans, but we were chatting with GMA member Mike, mm-hmm. who had taken a wonderful trip to Chicago some years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I remember going to this restaurant called The Girl and the Goat. And he was like, I remember it just being like really, really good. So if you guys were like looking for a place to eat while you're in Chicago, you should check it out.
I feel like he undersold it.
I absolutely feel like he undersold it.
Yeah.
So like, this is like one of those things where like Mike is a chef. Like that's like what he does for a living.
Yeah.
Like, he makes food for people and it's really good. And so I was like, if we have a food rack from our foodie friend, it's like, that's definitely where we're going.
Right.
And, you know, so like we're on there and like we're looking at it and, you know, like the only available reservation is at like 9 p.m. And so I'm sort of like, oh, the team's not going to be down for that. It's kind of late. And so I'm like, what do you guys think? It's like 9 p.m. They're like, well, we had like that huge breakfast. We had the beef sandwich. Like we got tons of time. Like why not make it 9?
Right. You know,
like we'll just go grab like a drink before we go. Or
right.
Something.
Yeah. We'll go for cocktails.
So we're like easy. Like we just needed a jumping off point. We just needed like someone to point us in a direction, mm-hmm. just something to do. So we sign up, we go to The Girl and the Goat, and like you walk in and just like, I mean, the place was like a fervor, you know, like
yes.
there's just like there's like noise and commotion and people walking. It's kind of got that like open view into like the kitchen in the back. And it just feels like there's there was more going on than I expected.
I mean, yeah, it was like every seat is full at 9 p.m., including all of the seats out on the street.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, this bodes well.
This seems like a good sign.
Yeah.
This seems like a good sign. So then it's like tapas style. So we're like getting like the rundown.
And it was surprise tapas. I don't think we realized that.
No, we had no idea. No. So
and tapas is like my favorite kind of food.
It is. Cause you get like lots of small bites of really good food. And it's like, you're not like just, I mean, not that I'm ever upset eating a whole steak, but like, you know, instead of eating the same bite over and over, you get like a bunch of cool different bites.
Yes.
So the waiter comes over, he's given us the rundown on the menu. He's like, for a group of five, I would recommend doing like 10 items. And that way, like you guys will have like enough to like share around and stuff. And we're like, deal. So we tell, you know, we look at the team. We're like, all right, everybody pick a protein. Everybody pick a side. They all have to be different.
They all have to be different. Yeah. We can't have overlapping ones.
Right. So we go through and it's same situation. I want to say there's like maybe 16 total options on the menu and we picked 10 of them.
Yeah.
So we ate most of the menu.
We ate a lot of it. Yeah.
And so everybody goes through, we pick out all the stuff and it just, I mean, it was like one of those meals where it just was on an upward trajectory the whole time. Like we started with like zucchini bread and like a tomato salad or something like that. So like, you know, nothing that's going to be like nothing that you would ever be like, oh, I have my favorite zucchini bread place, you know, that I like to go eat. But it was sort of like, yeah, why not? Like we'll do that.
But let me tell you what. You would have a favorite zucchini bread place now.
You absolutely would.
Because it was insane. And then we're like the tomato heirloom salad, which is like salad, except there's no lettuce. It's all tomato. All tomatoes. You know?
Which, like, you know, both Alice and Addison love tomatoes and they will eat them just like, you know, we'll go out to our garden. They'll pick them right off the vine and just like consume them straight up.
Yeah.
Like Addie will eat like 12 of them while we're out there. And I'm like, this isn't really for me. This though, I like, you know, I kept going back to it. I'm gonna get one more tomato.
One more.
Yeah.
One more. Dude, yes. I mean, I've had a few salads like that in my past. And it's like the difference between a good tomato and a bad tomato is vast. You know, you can't rank them on scales. You can't rank tomatoes on like that's a 1 or that's a 10. You need like a 1 to 1,000. You know?
It's true.
Because the scale of quality tomato is all over the place. Like if you go to like McDonald's, you're down in like the hundreds, you know. But like here, we were up in the 900s. They were good tomatoes.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the only other place that I've had a tomato that good was when we were in Tokyo earlier this year as well.
Yeah,
we also had a great tomato there.
We did.
But yeah, so that was amazing. And then it just kept getting better. Like I was already like, wow, this was a great call. You know, and we had like the basic appetizers, and then we had steak, we had chicken, we had pork belly, we had I don't even know. I mean, just everything.
Goat empanadas.
Yes, the goat empanadas. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Which that was like one of those where the name of the restaurant is The Girl and the Goat. And so I wasn't sure if that was like if you go to the Green Goat here in Roanoke, Virginia, you can get like goat shrimp and it's just bang bang shrimp, but they call, right, it,
they
goat,
just call it goat shrimp.
Yeah. And then this was like goat empanadas, and I'm like, is it goat? Or is it like, because we're at the girl in the goat empanadas?
Right.
And so I have no idea.
I think my interpretation was that it was goat, but I guess I could be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, further research needed. Yeah. Didn't matter. Tasted incredible. You know what it tasted like? This is a funny one. So I don't watch nearly as much Good Mythical Morning as you do, but I am familiar with the show that they do where you go in and like, if they have like a special guest or whatever, they'll have asked them like, what's your favorite kind of food? And They'll do like the grocery aisle version of it. They will do like the medium grade.
Yeah, like the fast food, then the sit down, then like the fancy.
Then like the fancy. So you have four samplings of the same thing. And so it's a fun thought question. Like if you were on the show, what would be the food where you would want to try like the frozen food aisle all the way up to like the absolute like gourmet version of it?
Yeah. Because they ask the guests like, what are your favorite foods? And then they get all those foods at each.
Yes.
Yeah. Level.
And so my answer for this, and I always think myself mighty clever for coming up with one that I feel like is at least medium grade unique, is the 7-Eleven taquito, which is specifically like the beef and cheese taquito from 7-Eleven. This is a hardcore guilty pleasure of mine. Mm-hmm. Like I will keep it to like,
that would be such a slam dunk on that show.
Wouldn't it?
Yes. They'd be like taquitos. They'd be like, oh yeah. Yeah.
Right. Cause like, you know, like one of my things, like when we do like the Super Bowl party, like, so I would say I limit myself to probably no more than 6 7-Eleven taquitos per calendar year, you know, like, which probably means that like on two occasions I've eaten 3.
Right.
And they are so, so good. And I love them so much, but like, I know that it will kill me if I just keep eating them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I think that they are like, I'm like, I don't know how you can make these better.
It's like your, I do know what you mean. Cause every now and then, yeah, I will see you eat one or something and I'll be like, those can't possibly taste as good as I remember. Like I'm like in my mind, I'm more nostalgic about them than they are actually good.
Right.
But then you eat it and you're like, I'm not being nostalgic.
It doesn't need a sauce. It doesn't need anything. It
speaks for itself.
They speak for themselves. And you know, it's funny too, because even going to the frozen food, one of my favorite things to do for like our annual Super Bowl party is to get coffee mugs, and I will set them up like around the house, like, you know, like the living room area where like everybody's going to be sitting to watch the game, and we'll get frozen food aisle taquitos and, you know, just make them in the oven. And then I'll fill the little mugs with taquitos because it's like a really easy, like grabbable food.
That's fun.
Yeah. So you just have like a few of those like set out or whatever. So like, I love that version of it. But I would say at the girl and the goat, we had these, they weren't taquitos, like they weren't shaped like the rolled up bit, but the empanada tasted for all intents and purposes like the gourmet version of the 7-Eleven taquito. And I was like, no freaking
it can
way.
Be.
I was like, I didn't think you could up it. I didn't think you could beat the set. Like, and that's like part of the challenge to me is I'm like, 7-Eleven has perfected the taquito.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's on the roller thing. No one knows how long it's been out there.
No one knows.
Could be minutes, could be days.
Could be days.
You know? It's probably not days because you know what? People gobble those things up.
They don't last. They don't sit.
But you know, even if they did and they were like getting ready to like throw them out and they were like, oh, these have been out here for like 6 hours or something. I'd be like, no, box them up for me. I'll take them.
I'll take those.
I'll take those for you. Yeah. No problem whatsoever. No, they're just so wonderful. But anyway, so we got that. Also,
we got that. They had like some crazy like green beans with some insane sauce on them.
Yeah,
which I know you're thinking like green beans. Are you sure, guys? And they're like, they told us, they're like, that's our signature dish. And we're like, even then we were like, the green beans. Okay. Oh, well, I guess we'll try it.
Right. Yeah. It was kind of like we had gone through and like everybody picks their protein and their extra item. And it was kind of like, and I guess we'll close out with the green beans.
I guess so. You know? It turned out to be a really, really, really good call.
It did. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, like, it's so funny because like, you know, like when you think of traveling to major cities, you think like, we'll go for a concert, we'll go for the architecture, we'll go for the sightseeing, like whatever. But I'm like, Alice, we're traveling back to Chicago so I can bring you to this place to eat dinner.
I know. I was texting Beth the entire time. I was like, I have to bring you here. Like, we're coming back just for this.
Yes.
But here's my challenge to the Little Colonels is, can you recreate our perfect food day? on your own.
Ooh.
You know, because I feel like it is attainable. You could start your day in Milwaukee and then drive to Chicago and have this day for yourself.
It is so doable. Cause I want to say the drive from Milwaukee to Chicago was only like an hour and 40 minutes, maybe.
You
like,
could do it.
You know, it's like you could. That's the journey. So like if you like live in Chicago, or even if you live in Milwaukee, get up, go do Uncle Wolfie's, drive to Chicago,
right?
Do Big Al's sandwich. You got to get it dipped.
Yeah, get it dipped.
Don't sit. You know, you got to stand, elbows out.
Elbows,
you know,
out.
Yep. You're more than welcome to go take a nap after that.
After that.
Before your 9 p.m. reservation at the Girl and the Goat.
At the Girl and the Goat. You're welcome in advance.
And also shout out to Mike, who I know listens to The Pop, who also gave us this recommendation because it capped off just like the best eating day ever.
Best eating day ever.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go. All right. So especially if you live in Milwaukee, you have homework. Go do it. You're not going to regret it. You're like, I already know about that place. I eat there all the time.
That's the thing. It's like nothing makes me happier. Like we even got back to the hotel in Chicago, and you know we're talking to the same attendant was working the whole time. All of our waking hours in Chicago at the hotel.
Yeah,
we had the same guy. Oh God, what was his name?
Lawrence?
Was it Lawrence?
I don't know.
I can't remember if that sounds right or not.
Okay.
I was thinking like Hammond or something. I think
Cat will know.
Okay, yeah.
He was Melissa. I think he was flirting a little with Cat.
I think he may have been crushing on Cat.
I think so.
Bit. Yeah. I was like, you're talking to us, but you're talking to Cat. Yeah,
he was like, you guys want some snacks? And it was like, but he brought out one Capri Sun and like one like Reese's pack and handed them directly to Kat. It was like, oh, do we want some snacks?
Yeah. But you know,
he was super nice though.
He was absolutely he wasn't in like a creepy way or anything, just very
no.
More attentive than you would expect for someone who has no requirement to speak to us while we're waiting for the rest of our team to come downstairs to go out and do things. But yeah, we're chatting with him and it made me so happy because we're like, yeah, we went to the Girl and the Goat last time. Man, I've been hearing about that place. Is it good? And we're like, it was so good.
It was so good.
That's it. I'm going now that I got the recommendation. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that Lawrence or Hammond or whatever his name was, you know, went.
It could be. I don't know.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. So that was the best food we had.
There you go. On the road in the Midwest.
Although where was it? What night was it where we went to a place called Sidecar?
That was in Detroit, I think.
Detroit.
Right?
Yeah, I think it was in Detroit. Yeah. Okay. So then we're in Detroit and we went to, I guess technically Ferndale.
Which
I have no idea if the Detroitians are like, Ferndale is not Detroit. Okay.
I know. Sometimes I wonder about this. It's like if people were like, oh, I've been to Roanoke, and they're like, well, I was in Salem, and I'd be like, excuse me,
that doesn't count.
You have not been to Roanoke.
But thank you for visiting Nude on your visit here.
Yes.
Absolutely.
As long as you went to Nude, that's an acceptable answer, but you have not been to Roanoke.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right. Yeah, you got to see the star on the mountain.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the Wells Fargo Tower, which is like our one like skyscraper or whatever. Mm-hmm. Addison right now is absolutely convinced that it's a rocket ship.
That's amazing.
I know. And it makes me so happy because I'm like, oh my gosh, if only rocket ships were that big. Like it would be, it's such a massive building to be like a rocket ship.
I know. That'd be so huge. It'd be so huge. My kids always just call it the bank. And I'm like, it just got funny because it's like, definitely it's the Wells Fargo Tower because that's like who has the naming rights on the side or whatever, but certainly the whole building isn't the bank.
Right. Yeah. Right. Also true.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this? Ferndale. So after the show that we call Detroit, we were looking for, again, a place to eat because it was like late and we were hungry and all those types of things. So we find this little place called Sidecar, which worked out well because we also have a sidecar.
We do.
Here in Roanoke.
Which incidentally is a place I would totally recommend you go eat if you do visit Roanoke and not Salem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, for sure. It is a great place to go get food and drinks and everything. And it's got like all the vibes.
All the vibes.
But sort of this place, it was really cool. And I got a bacon wrapped deep fried hot dog covered in cheese sauce and mustard.
Yes, you did.
And it was, I was like, this is so ridiculously exactly what I wanted at 1 o'clock in the morning in Ferndale/Detroit.
When you got that, it reminded me. So we were just talking about the Frozen Fast Fancy Feast.
Yes.
On Good Mythical Morning. When you got that, that it reminded me so much of that one time when we were on an airplane and you asked the waitress, like, what, you know, how are these pretzel dog things?
Yes. It was like a jumbo beef hot dog wrapped in a pretzel bun.
Yeah. Wrapped in a pretzel bun. And she was like, honestly, no one really gets them, but I have some. I'll just give you one if you want.
Yes.
And, you know, you were like, yeah.
Absolutely,
because I want to think it was some like ridiculous airplane price of like $18 or something.
People are gonna be like, Ben is a human garbage can, confirmed. Yeah.
but that on the unlike the taquitos of 7-Eleven, which are, you know, near perfection,
exactly,
this was not.
It wasn't. I mean, like, the joke I literally tell every single time we bring this up is that like I'm convinced that it's like the chewing gum thing where they say, like, you know, you if you like swallow a piece of chewing gum, you digest it for like 7 years or whatever, and it's just like down there.
Yeah,
there's a piece of me that thinks I'm still digesting this pretzel bun, this pretzel hot dog.
Yeah,
like it just lives in me.
It's just part of you.
So if you met me on tour, you also met
the pretzel bun.
The pretzel bun.
That was years ago.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
But so, okay. So you had that to me is that was like bottom tier. The hot dog you got at this sidecar place was like next level.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a top five hot dog for sure.
Yeah.
Like it was unbelievable. It was messy. It was delicious. Like, I don't know what they did or how they got the bacon to like be so perfectly like adhered to the hot dog, but it was.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful experience.
Well, awesome. So you had that hot dog, and then we also in Chicago the following day, to continue to our amazing Chicago eating, we had the Chicago style hot dog at Patillo's.
But yes. And so that is, oh gosh, what all comes on there? So it's hot dog,
right,
with a pickle. It's a poppy seed bun, Vienna beef hot dog.
Yep. It's got a full pickle spear on it.
Full pickle spear.
Two tomatoes.
Yep.
Two like hot peppers, I guess.
Yeah, like I was gonna say shishito, but I don't think that is what it is. There, yeah. It's more like a spicy pepper.
Yeah, tiny little spicy pepper, but there's two of them. Like the two of them combined take up like most of the bun.
Yeah,
or the length of the bun, but they're not that big.
There's like a toxic green relish.
There is like a radioactive green relish on it.
Yep,
and mustard.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we're missing something. Yeah, I think there might be like one other thing on there. But anyway, yes, we had those as well.
Yeah.
I would say that I thought that those were, I thought it was like good.
Yeah.
Like I would park it like a 6.5 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was like, this was like, I'm not upset that I ate it.
Yeah. You know,
but I wasn't like.
Yeah. Understood. I think the last time I got those, I was on a food tour and I only got like, I didn't get like the full experience. But it was like half a hot dog or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So this one, I got like just two fresh ones and I was like, I really like, I love Chicago style hot dogs. So
well, there you go.
That was right up. Although as I was getting it, I walked past a guy who had ordered like a half rack of ribs at the same place. And I was like, oh my God, next time I'm getting that.
Yes.
Cause it looked amazing. But didn't get that. Got the hot dog. Apparently, what we didn't get, what you're supposed to get there, besides the hot dogs, is the chocolate cake shake.
Oh,
where they take a piece of chocolate cake and throw it in the blender.
Don't.
Yeah. That's the other thing that apparently you're supposed to get at Patillo's that I didn't know about.
Why aren't more people doing that?
I don't know.
I mean, that needs to catch on like you know, yesterday.
I know. Yeah. Not that I could have. Let me tell you what. I came home from this trip, 50 hours in a van. And eating out of a car and home to suites and whatever for 2 weeks will do some damage to your body.
It absolutely will. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's I can never decide when I'm like telling people what we've done, like what we are doing is absolutely going out on tour. Like that is the functional thing. But then I also think about like real musicians who are out there doing it like on like a big level.
Yeah.
You know, like who are out there for like months or whatever, you know, doing like stadiums and like big stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's like okay. That's a completely different caliber. So sometimes I'm like, we were on tour. We did shows. I was in a van. Does that sound right? Like, yeah. I'm not trying to like oversell what we did, but I also can't undersell what we did.
No, that's kinda, what we did.
Yeah. But you it's know. Like, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it's wild. It's wild. And you get home and I probably could have slept from Friday at like 6 when I walked in the door until this morning.
Yeah.
You know, and been okay.
I was pretty tired, yeah. But I'll tell you what, I did not get to sleep like that.
Same. Yeah. on the flip side front, we've also got our wives who have done an incredible job of holding down the fort the whole time we were gone. And, you know, making sure that the kids, you know, continued with all their activities and school and all the things that needed to be done, and doing mornings and bedtime and dinners. And you know, I mean, it all just stacks up.
Like, yeah.
It's a ton of work to do by yourself. So sure enough, I think we both walked into our houses and Beth and Alice were like, okay, you're up for bedtime.
Time for you to do bedtime. I was like, all right, no problem.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, happy to do it.
Oh,
happy,
same.
No problem at all. The kids were so excited. And, you know, we got them like little souvenirs from the road and stuff like that, which they were all amped about.
Yes. Yes.
All that.
Addie came in and, like, you know, when I walked in the door, Alice actually was upstairs showering. So she wasn't even like down when I walked in. And Addie just screamed and came and hugged me for like 3 full minutes. And I was I could just live in this moment for the rest of my life.
This
is the best.
That's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. My kids were also not about to let me sleep in for the weekend.
Same. Yeah.
I think I was up at 6 on both days.
Mean, I wasn't up at 6, but I was up at 7.
Yeah.
And, the Saturday morning after I got back, Addie was like 3 inches away from my face. And she goes, "Daddy, can we make macarons?" I was like, we'll go get some.
How about that?
Yeah. So we ended up going to like Fresh Market, and I just bought like all the macarons they had. And I was like,
here you go. Enjoy.
I can't do it right now. I can't.
Can't do it.
But I will get you them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was up. I mean, they all wanted pancakes, so that's what I was doing.
Okay.
Had to make a bunch of pancakes. They were excited because Beth had bought dark chocolate chips.
Hey.
I know. And Luke was like real excited to have a different kind of chocolate chip. And so we were trying those out. And
wow. Was it a hit?
Luke liked it. Yes. Nick was preferring the regular milk chocolate, which good news, we had those too.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. They all came over and made their, they always want to make Mickey Mouse pancakes, but they are really bad at coming up with the proportions for the face and the ears, so it always ends up just being like a sort of blobby piece-shaped pancake, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, that was, they still eat them, which is the important part, so
that's good.
That was good. Yeah, it was a very good weekend back. We went to 2 breweries on the 2 days, so I didn't start eating better when I got home.
I know same here. Yeah, it was just like immediately, because then like you just want to like see all your home family.
I know. Yeah, but it was, I mean, it was great being back too. Like, it was a very chill weekend, which is exactly what I needed. We got to watch the Hokies, who managed to win a game.
Oh my gosh.
Which, man, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, it's been a hard season so far.
It's been a tough season.
A tough season.
Yeah. It's been one way to go, you know, like losing 3 games in a row to kick off the season.
I would call it embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Yeah. Then your head coach gets fired. And yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah. So that was really nice. Me and you were texting while we were watching the game at night. I thought my heart was going to come out of my chest. So.
Oh, same.
I want them to win so bad.
I needed them to win so bad. I think the entire like southwestern section of Virginia needed Virginia Tech to win that game.
Yes.
And it was like such a joyous victory. It was against an ACC opponent, NC State. Take that, Good Mythical Morning.
The NC State fans.
That's where they went.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So big time. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. That was good times. Man.
Yeah, but then tour as a whole. So like we got to talk highlight reel from the shows themselves, because there were some pretty unbelievable things that happened. Notably, shout out to St. Paul, Minnesota, because we had our biggest show of the tour in St. Paul.
Yes, we did. Hold on. St. Paul was probably the craziest night of tour of any of the tours combined.
Yeah, it may have been the most wild show that we've had anywhere.
Yes.
It was a massive room full of people, and they were fired up.
They were fired up. Okay. Like, So this particular chapter that we were doing in St. Paul, if you ever listen to the Jim Dale audiobooks of Harry Potter, there is one of my least favorite sections of the book where Fred, George, and Ginny are being so annoying, or at least like, which is very rare for those three characters.
Yeah, they're notably not annoying characters.
Notably not annoying characters, but they just keep chanting, "He got off, he got off, he got off," after Harry like wins his little court case or whatever.
Yes.
And the little chant that Jim Dale does, he does so many wonderful things in that book, but the chant is not one of them. It grinds my gears every time I have to listen to it.
Yeah.
However, I was like, I think we can fix this, guys, because I was telling the story to the audience. Like, let's fix the chant. We'll just go like, "He got off, he got off," and like they took that and ran for the rest of the night, and like any and everything that could be chanted, they did.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It was wild. So, I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was like one of those things where I was like, this room is having just as much fun without us as they are with us.
I think so.
Like, they are just vibing with each other. They're like, you know, there's an electricity in the room. It was just fun and cool and exciting and neat to be a part of it. So I have no idea what that recording will ultimately end up being like.
If you're going to go watch one of the live shows, check out the St. Paul one, because it was so funny. Like, that was one, I feel like when you're out there and you're like doing the performances every night, like there is a certain, like there's different like skills you sort of have to learn while you're on stage, like trying to make people laugh, trying to keep people on track, and like working the audience a little bit and stuff like that. Like I think it was in maybe St. Louis, people were asking us about like footrests on brooms, which is just sort of like a funny running gag on the show.
Yeah.
That me and Ben don't like footrests on brooms.
Right. And the basic idea is just that, like, you know, they introduced this new like configuration of like what broomsticks looked like somewhere along the way. And I don't know if it was even like for filming purposes. It was just that much easier to like have actual footrests so that like the actor, like they didn't have to like remove them in post, but it makes it easier for like the actors to physically like sit on them. The broomstick, right, or whatever. But it's like one of those things where like it's exactly what we do here on The Pop, where it's like strong opinions about weak things. Like it was never meant to really be this like polarizing topic.
In fact, I think we assumed most people felt this way.
Yes, and it turns out that this is like right down the middle. And yeah, so we're like inside of a show one night, and like we're kind of doing like the, like, you know, with no footrests, I might add, you know, just like throwing like a little like gag in there. Like, what are you guys saying? When you guys pro footrests? Like, you know, we're just having fun with them.
Yeah.
And then like it like descends into like almost like a yelling match, but like people were feeling the passion.
It turned into me debating like six or seven different people who were just yelling things out from the crowd. And, you know, you're just trying to like deflect them and be funny about it. But like at some point it felt like it was very nearing like we're almost getting too serious.
It's like, uh-oh.
So, but that was like you were like actively having to be like, okay, just like we need to diffuse this and move on in a way that will make the crowd happy, like quickly.
Yes.
Like before something turns sour in the air. And that was like a very like on the fly kind of like learning to do. And I think we, you know, it was just like, we're not gonna argue about this anymore. We're just gonna keep moving forward. And, you know, we moved forward and it was fine. It was great.
I mean, it was still an amazing show, still an amazing group.
Yes.
Like everything was wonderful.
Yeah, it was so good.
And if anything, I love the fact that people are so like passionate about these things.
Yes.
Because it's like on the whole, it's like it's like the quote, like, you know, sports are like the most important unimportant thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like that's how I feel about like all this stuff. It's like, you know, we are coming together like outside of what is otherwise like, you know, much more like much very prominent topics that exist in our world right now. And it's like, you know what? We're all choosing to have like a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like maybe it's not the most important thing. Maybe it's not like necessarily like breaking ground in any like remarkable way or anything. But like we're all here. We're all having fun. We're all doing it together.
Yes.
So it was pretty incredible. But that, yeah, I was like, oh boy, we poked a bear.
I know. But then like fast forward to the next night at St. Paul, I felt like you and me were having to have this like telepathic conversation in the middle of people like breaking out into chant, because we're sort of just like boy, the crowd almost feels like they are verging on like out of control, but like everyone's clearly having a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it was like, how, like, do we even care if we keep that on track if everyone's having this much fun?
That was exactly how I felt. Yeah. 100%. Cause I was like, you know, there's the, like when we did our first bout of these live shows, I remember the thought was that like, we'll just like upload these as like the uploads for all the chapters. And I think that there was like a mixed bag response to what the live shows are like from a listening experience, especially for people who are like powering through them, like kind of like binging. Cause like the tone, the format, like everything's a little bit different for a live show versus like what we record here in studio. Like,
yeah.
That like, going back to like what I said with like the Laugh Boston situation, like, we have a cozy show. Like, it's nice. It's easygoing. Like, you know, it's not going to like wake you up in the middle of the night if you like fell asleep listening to it or anything like that. You know, I love that we do that here.
Yeah.
You know, we also have as much time as we need. So if it's a 2-hour episode, it's a 2-hour episode, like whatever. But when we're at the live shows, we need to condense it. You know, it needs to be smaller. Not everybody knows what we said the previous night about the last chapter. So there's like a lot of like, you know, context filling.
Right.
And sometimes we're like repeating ourselves from like one night to the next, not to anyone's, you know, that's someone's fault. We just have to, cause you don't have all the context.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a million different things going on. But like, that was like one where you're like, this could be an interesting listen, but the people here who are here for the show, they seem like they're having fun. And I'm like, as long as they're having a great time, like that is the number one most important thing.
Right.
Because it's like, I want the people at the shows to be having a blast.
Right.
You know, and they seem to be.
They absolutely seem to be. The he got off chance. And then at one point, this is, if you listen to Through the Gryffindor, you'll know that one of our favorite jokes, if you just watch Super Carlin Brothers, you'll probably know one of our favorite jokes is Cedric's dead.
Yeah. Which is, it's only like a joke because it is so sad.
It's like
Cedric is like such a pure existence. Right.
It's such
a
dark joke.
Yes. Yeah. And I have no idea if like any part of it is like amplified by the fact that like Robert Pattinson like played the role of Cedric and now he's like this like huge big deal and like for all these other reasons, but he was also like, you know, what's his bucket in Twilight,
right?
And now he's Batman, and yeah, I don't know, like, he, you know, it's just, there's been like such like an interesting path there. But Cedric is one of like the other just absolutely like up there with like Lily, you know, as like a just pure good character. And so, you know, it's like there's like some light bringing that you do by I hope.
Yeah.
But it's all like, you can hear me hedging right now. Like, you can hear me being nervous about this topic because I was like, I don't know how people are responding to it.
And yeah,
like, you know, you're not in the room. And then like we're out on tour. We have people coming through and they're like, it's my birthday tonight. Is there any way I could request a Cedric joke? And like, you're like, really?
Really? And like, yeah, like one of the ways we would open the show is be like, you know, like, oh, we gotta make sure, you know, we gotta get to know the audience here, you know, how many dead Cedric jokes can we make? And I mean, without fail, every person in the room would be like cheering.
Yes.
It was like, okay, this is another one of those things, like, since we've started making the Dedrick jokes, we haven't been on the road, so we haven't known how it's been received, even though we've made them in almost every episode
for a while. Yeah. Goblet of Fire is pretty big on that one.
Yeah they are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, it was, even that was just like,
it was so funny.
So interesting.
I mean, people were chanting dead said. We're just like, have we created a monster?
Yeah, what? This might be out of our hands at this point.
You know, yeah, what though? Yeah. But you know what? The dead Cedric jokes, you know, they don't get old. Just like Cedric.
I feel like what's gonna happen is there's like the people who love them and they're all dying laughing, and then there's the people who absolutely hate them and they're like, okay, well, you just lost me.
At this point you're in, you know, it's all part of the community. Hogwarts is a dragon, the basilisk has laser eyes, Cedric's death was hilarious. Yeah. Look at Cho Chang, tears of laughter every time you see her, you know? She can barely contain herself. The pop listeners are like, I'm not sure we're in on this joke yet.
Right. They're like, okay, yes.
Or maybe
okay,
they are.
Yeah. Anyway, but beyond all that though, I have to just like reinforce. I know that I've brought this up before. I know that I've talked about it. But like, tour has been this like magnificent experience for like, I mean, I'm going to include you and say for us, but I feel like it is like, it is really completely fundamentally changed my relationship with what we do. Like, you know, there, it's like, we've been doing this for like a long time now.
Yeah.
You know, like we've both been full time since you since 2015, me since 2016.
Yep.
Like, you know, I think at this point in time, we'd be able to say at least a portion of our career has been doing, you know, what we do on the internet and stuff. But like that being said, I have struggled with being a content creator just about the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not necessarily like the thing I ever thought myself like likely to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm constantly in shock that we do it. I think the anxiety portion of it sometimes has gotten the better of me. And you know, it can be heavy. Mm-hmm. At different points along the way, but you know, and the thing I used to always say, and if you even go back to early Pops, I'm sure you would hear me expressing this sentiment a lot. It's this idea of chasing like fulfillment. And it's like the question of like, you know, are you making the world a better place? Like one Harry Potter theory at a time. And, you know, I think that was always where it was hard to feel like the answer to that question could possibly be yes. But then you go out there and you meet these people, and like some people come up and they're in tears before they've even started talking. Some people are shaking, you know, people just like, they want to hug you. They want to like tell you the way that like the show has impacted them. And it's like, it sounds cheesy or something, but it's like, it literally has made all the difference. Like, because it's like, you see these people, they're real people. These are not just like numbers on the analytics page. They're not just like, you know, all parts of like the constant, like, you know, experience that is trying to like continue to do what we do.
Right.
It's not likes. It's not any of that stuff. It's like, these are real people with real emotions who have been impacted by what we do. So it's like, you know, I do thank people every night, you know, at the end of the show for doing that and for making our corner of the internet so wonderful. But like, there's really no way to extend enough gratitude to the listenership of our community, because like this group of people is, I mean, they're so good. They're so nice. They're like, everyone is so wonderful. And I don't know. It's just like, it makes me happy. Like, I know I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but like there's a sentiment I sometimes like try to like reinforce in my head. It's like a thing I've like done in therapy, but like, it's the idea that like, if Addison grew up and was like me as an adult, how would I feel about her? And a lot of times like I'm like, I would be proud of her for like caring about people and having that like extension or whatever. I hope she wouldn't have the same anxiety that I do, but like, it's like, that helps me sometimes feel better about who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, if I would be okay with my own daughter being similar to me, then that must mean on some level that even if I can't look at myself with like the perfectly most objective lens, that I do like who I am as a person. But the same is also true for our audience. It's like, if you're the people that we are finding that like come and listen to our shows, then it's like, then thank you. Like, because that makes me feel better about who I am as a person, because you guys are wonderful. And if you guys are like you and you like us, That must be good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's powerful. It really is. Like it's just, I don't know. I think I've been thinking about it like the whole week. It's like, I was so glad to be home. I was so glad to see my family. And I'm also like heartbroken to like not get to keep seeing more of those.
More of the people. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like my other family, you know, it's like, so anyway, just, I just am very grateful. That's all.
Well said, and I'm glad you have come to peace with it and recognized that you're just one of the most like entertaining people that I have ever known, and can accept that about yourself as well.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It. And yeah. Likewise.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And also like the most knowledgeable. Jay won the tour along.
The trivia.
Yeah.
If it comes to Harry Potter, you know, I know a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about other things, but.
You're just killing it. But anyway, guys, I think it's gonna bring it to the end of this week's episode. We came into this with no real show notes, no anything. We were locked and loaded with experiences.
Yeah. So, well, Beth keeps asking, like, do you have any other like stories from the road? I'm like, yes. And it's like, there's so many, and I can't remember any of them.
They'll bleed out of me for like months.
Exactly. I'm sure you'll just keep hearing about them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like inevitably there's gonna be like a really important thing that we haven't told either Beth or Alice for like months.
I know. And they're like, wait, will you tell me about that? I'm like, did I not?
How did I not? Did you
see? It was a really big deal at the time.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to sign up to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link to all that and to all in all of the obvious places down below. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.